You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Happiness Patrol. We are on episode number 136. Today is Mummy on the Orient Express. So join us, won't you, while we take a ride on the Soul Train today. You know what, Nancy?
Because the Happiness Patrol starts now.
On the
Soul Train.
In space. Man, this episode was really particularly kick-ass. I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
But before we really get into it, I got to do something that we don't do normally on the Happiness Patrol, but I need to do it every now and then because you never know when we have new listeners, guys. So if you're a brand new listener to the Happiness Patrol, first of all, thank you for choosing the Happiness Patrol podcast for your Doctor Who information, entertainment, infotainment, I might say, and all that good stuff. But let me introduce everybody on the podcast to you. Chaz. Hey.
Chaz.
Yeah. Chaz, for those who don't know you, go ahead and tell them what you do and why you're a Doctor Who fan. Quickly. Briefly. Briefly, I guess I should say. I'll edit that part out.
It's hard to say. I'm an old school fan, been rocking the Doctor Who since at least Tom Baker. Actually saw it before then, but I wasn't really a fan until the big scarf came through. And I live in Victoria, British Columbia, which is on an island in it's an accident of cartography that we're not in the United States. Somebody sneezed while they were drawing the 49th parallel. And there we are. So that's me.
Or you could be Trinity Seattle right now. Who knew? Or Bellingham. Who knew? Who knew? So Michelle.
Yes.
I met Michelle at the most amazing Doctor Who convention called Gallifrey.
LA. Gallifrey 1.
Yes, Gallifrey.
In 2009?
Back then. So, Michelle, tell the peoples, what do you do?
What do I do? My name is Michelle, and I am a cosplayer and a prop maker, and I watched Doctor Who on and off when I was young, in the late 70s and the 80s, I got into the new series, and I had a friend named Tim who was really into the original, the classic stuff, and I was like, I remember that stuff. And so I basically just immersed myself in it and binged for about 2 years.
Cool.
On the classic stuff. I'm if you go to like Gallifrey 1 or LA Who, you will usually see me on panels about cosplay or crafting or making props
and that sort of stuff too. So
yeah, and this month, October of 2014, I will be speaking at Dorkbot Austin on the 27th at the Spider House Ballroom about cosplay. So
that's neat. That's cool. Dorkbot.
Dorkbot.
Funny. And Nancy. Yep. Nancy A. joins us from San Francisco. Nancy originally started as a Happiness Patrol reporter, and now she's a full-time hostess with the Moses here on the podcast. So, Nancy, tell the people who may have never met you all about you.
Well, I am an old fan, and I started going to conventions back when I was a teenager, which was a very long time ago. Although I was more of a Star Wars fan back in those days, I was aware of Doctor Who, and I did watch it occasionally. And I had friends who were big-time fans and had scarves and stuff, but I never really got into it until it was about 2007, and my kids were little, and we were trawling the TV for something to watch, and we found the new Doctor Who on, back then, the Skiffy channel. And, you know, I was skeptical at first. I was thinking, oh, geez, you know, when they bring back old series, it's never the same. But I had a bored kid with me, and we watched it, and we fell in love. The first episode I saw was Boomtown, and that pulled me in.
That's nice.
And we
that's
went down the rabbit hole, and we've never looked back.
Well, cool. My name is Lewis B. I am the host here of the podcast. I edit this thing. I record this thing every time I can get a chance to. Usually we try to bring you the Happiness Patrol weekly, on a weekly basis, when the show is on air, when a new season starts. Depending on our schedules, sometimes it's can be bi-weekly, but but it all really depends. I'm an old school fan like Chaz and Nancy. I used to wear a scarf at high school band practice.
That is so adorable.
When I was in high school, so that was kind of fun. So Tom Baker was my doctor, my first doctor. I built two TARDISes since then, and I've been to Gallifrey and been on many panels, and I didn't like to talk to people about Doctor Who because it's fun and it makes me happy, and that's why we started the Happiness Patrol. So onward and upward into Mummy on the Orient Express. I like this one. This was really fun. Finally, we've got a really nice costume, atmospheric sort of mystery on our hands. But not for long, because this was a quick moving one, and we got right into the sci-fi of it quite quickly. And plus, it seemed like we didn't really see Clara in the preview. But, of course, boom, there she is as soon as you start the show, getting off the TARDIS with the Doctor, as I think
I predicted
she should
that
be.
Last episode, did I not?
Yes, you did, and you're right, Chaz, because, you know, Chaz, you need that self-reassurance.
Put a penny in the Chaz is right
yes,
jar.
There you go. but anyway.
3 cents. Three cents.
Three whole cents. So it was nice. We had a little bit of Clara and her relationship with the Doctor, which these past two episodes have been going on. And I think we sort of reached the conclusion there of like, or at least, maybe not the conclusion, but at least they've come to a plateau in their relationship where everything looks like it's going to be okay again.
Everything's so hunky-dory.
The bumpy ride, hopefully, is over.
No, it's not.
Lying to her boyfriend.
She's lying to both of them.
The poor Miss Pitt has lost her grandma, or her mother, I guess.
Her grandma.
And she goes, there, she overhears them talking, and she goes, "That man's a liar!" Of course, she's emotionally distraught, but it really sets the tone for the entire episode. And on that note, let's start, Nancy, with you. Nancy, tell me, what did you think? And first of all, tell me, how many times did you see it, and what did you think?
I saw it twice.
Ooh.
And I really liked it. I watched it the first time with my son, because he's actually missed the last few. But I mentioned the words Orient Express, and he was on the sofa with me in an instant. He's been a train geek since he was two. And he pretty much knows how to run a steam engine now. Because he's played Train Simulator so much. So all I had to do was say Orient Express, and damn-o, he was there
board.
With me. Anyway, but I loved this episode. I thought it was really good. I think, you know, when I first heard about it, I was thinking, oh, God, it's going to be another Titanic in space. Oh, God. You know, I wasn't too thrilled about the Titanic in space.
Right.
But I think it actually, it used that historic context put into the future in exactly the right way. It was like it set the scene and then when the meat of the story happened, it got out of the way. And it became a different story. And I kind of liked, you know, people were complaining about the pacing lately. I think the pacing on this was almost spot on.
I do too.
Just the right point when they dropped away the facade.
Right.
And went to the lab. So that I really appreciated about it. I think it had an amazing cast. I mean, my God, I know at least three of those actors.
I don't know any of those actors, but all I could say was every person gave their best, and I thought it was amazing.
Well, the guy who was the chief, what was his name? The
chief engineer Perkins?
Quell. Anyway, he was Mr. Collins in the Colin Firth Pride and Prejudice, which I've seen many times. And yeah, Frank Skinner, who is a well-known British comedian, was Perkins. And I thought he was lovely. And I would have loved to see him stick around for a couple more episodes because I think he's great.
There was kind of a little hint that they may revisit him. I think they will.
Yeah, I don't know. He sound pretty, you know, I think they probably did that because I think he probably does have a lot of fans in the UK because he is a fairly well-known comedian. But I actually knew him from a documentary he did on George Formby in Blackpool, of all places. Anyway, so I love the story. I think the whole resolution of what the mummy really was really worked. I really adored it. It is one of my favorite Moffat era episodes, hands down. I would watch this again in a heartbeat.
Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Yeah,
nice.
I know. I can't think of any episode of the last couple of years that I would probably put in ahead of that.
Huh.
So do we know who the writer is?
Yeah, that's Jamie Matheson, who is also doing next week's episode.
Oh, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. Yeah, he was. I think you're right, Nancy. A little new blood may not be too terribly bad. It was, I think this whole thing was a combination of all the right elements put together in all the right ways. Now, Michelle, let's go with you. How many times did you get to see it?
I have seen it once.
Okay.
And I thought it was cracking. I loved it.
Now, tell me this before we get into it. Did you think the relationship between Clara and the doctor emphasis was a little too much or just about like the right touch?
I was kind of bummed at the idea that Clara wouldn't be back because for this episode, because that would be a really terrible place to leave it and then have a fun, goofy episode without her. So I think this was still kind of fun and a little bit goofy, but in just the right way while it continued to, you know, progress how Clara is dealing with the doctor now. For me, the episode was over too soon, and I don't mean that I think it went too fast in a bad way. I just feel like the momentum of the episode just rolled along at a really great pace. Yeah, like a train. And
woohoo!
And I was like, woohoo! Nancy's son has a thing about trains. I have a thing about Egypt. When I was a kid, that was my thing that I was obsessed with. We've had a lot of themes, you know, this season about legends and about, you know, our innermost fears and guilt and about soldiers. And this covered all three of those. This season is really cohesive in its themes. Once again, Jenna Coleman proves that she can pull any era of fashion off.
Oh, my God. With a plum. Did she not look wonderful in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that dress.
I love her haircut.
I like your haircut a lot too.
I'm jealous of her haircut. I couldn't pull that haircut off. Anyway, but the acting was really good. Everybody was believable and intense, and you know, and we know we've been talking about pacing, and I think that this episode was paced really, really well. But I'm just going to give this as an example of I really think Doctor Who could return to multi-episode stories because I think that with this writer and their ability to pace a 45-minute episode, like this story is a really good example of cutting away the gristle and fat for a nice, lean, excellent story. It didn't need to be. It doesn't need to be a multi-part story.
Uh-huh.
But oh my God, wouldn't have been great if it was.
You could have gotten to see more costumes.
Yeah, the only thing that I would want more of, but it wouldn't be, and it isn't necessary for the story, is to get to know some of the other passengers. You know, like there were all those scientists. It looked like Albert Einstein was in that fucking train. Like, what the hell?
Oh, that's just scientists that with wild hair.
Yeah, no, he wasn't just a scientist with wild hair. He looked like Albert Einstein. Like, and I want to know, even if that's not Albert Einstein, I want to know more about that guy.
Yeah. So you enjoyed this. You think this was the best one so far of the season?
I think so, yeah. I will definitely watch this one again in the future, and not just for like podcasting and panel preparation, just
for enjoyment. Yeah, for pure recreational
view. I totally enjoyment. Watch this again for recreational viewing.
I would show this episode to. This would be one of the episodes that I would show to someone who was interested in Doctor Who.
Right.
Yeah. Doctor Who curious.
Yeah, the Who curious. This is a good episode for them, I think.
So, Mummy aboard the Orient Express. Take it, Chaz.
I'm afraid I have to agree with everybody.
Yay!
This was just a terrific episode. I'm not sure if it was the best of the season, but it certainly is a candidate. Because it has, and yes, it touches a bunch of old school buttons. First of all, I don't know if you guys know this, but this entire episode is built around a throwaway line from The Big Bang. Mm. There's a line there where he has to pick up, where Matt picks up the phone and he's like, "What's that? The Orient Express?" You know, and and says some other stuff about it. And this is the follow-up to that.
He did mention free tickets and a phone call.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
So I thought that was funny. The other thing I like is that this is essentially a Tom Baker episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give credit where credit is due.
No.
I was listening to the Dirty Hooers,
uh-huh.
Of which we are 100% more sober than them. One of the guys on the Dirty Hooers mentioned, they were talking about The Unquiet Dead, and mm-hmm. one of them mentioned that was essentially a Tom Baker story, written for Christopher Eccleston. And I was like, damn it, he's right. And it dawns on me that some of my favorite episodes from across the 2005 On series have been essentially Christopher Eccleston, David Tennant and Matt Smith doing Tom Baker.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And this is another one. This is a Peter Capaldi doing Tom Baker.
Well, all these writers basically grew up in that era.
Well, this is the thing is what Heather and I were both talking about it. Uh-huh. This is a Tom Baker episode with a Sylvester McCoy dark doctor doing, rocking the Pertwee.
Rocking the Pertwee.
So you're getting it all kind of together. The other thing I want to mention about this episode, and I like this, but this is hardly the first time in Doctor Who. In fact, it appears that in the Doctor Who universe, outer space is littered with companies, services, or people who are in love with a particular period of Earth history and start a commercial venture based on it.
Earthlings go out into space and, multiply by the gabillion. Of course there's going to be people out there going, well, how can we make money off these Earthlings? I mean, come on, wouldn't you?
Tellurians.
They're simple.
Yeah, Tellurians. I was thinking back to the one in the Sylvester McCoy episode that takes place in the holiday camp, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Mm-hmm. Echo and the Bunnymen. God.
Not Echo and the Bunnymen. Close enough. Anyway, that episode featured a company that based their adventures on British holiday camps in the 50s and old double-decker buses. Then we had Voyage of the Damned with their fake Titanic, and now we have fake Orient Express. I love it.
Yeah. You can make anything cool by putting it on the Orient Express.
Well, yes. That's and true. This is also a return to Agatha Christie. Although actually this was more like 10 Little Indians than Murder on the Orient Express, because the way they're killing everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was a return to Agatha Christie. We haven't seen that since Unicorn and the Wasp. So, there was plenty to like, the ingredients of this stew were all good things.
One of the ingredients that I wanted to touch upon is, we were talking about the costuming. The set direction and the costuming in this episode was absolutely amazing. It made to me, the story, because like if you've got something that looks good and interesting, that's captivating. That's going to keep you there. And then like you're going to get into the story a little bit more. Now, the thing to me about Peter Capaldi when he stepped out of the TARDIS and I saw him in his little outfit and, mm-hmm. I had to pry my eyes off of Jenna Coleman because she looked so damn beautiful.
And then she has to turn up in silk pajamas later on.
Oh,
my
God. Okay, shush. Yeah. Now. And so anyway, here's Peter Capaldi looking almost exactly like Peter Cushing as Doctor Who.
Oh, yes. Oh my God, I'm so glad it's not just me.
That was the first. Oh my God. That was the first thing I thought of. I was like, "Holy crap!"
Cushing meets Pertwee. Holy crap!
Yeah, well, yeah, it was really good.
If he had just leaned over more, because Peter Cushing,
he liked to lean.
He spent that entire role bent at a 45-degree angle.
Well, yeah. Did you notice that he did that at the very end when he was looking around on the beach just as waking up, yeah.
Yes,
you're right. You know, I'm going to have to go back and watch the Cushing films again.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that was
great.
That was really cool. That was very cool. And you know, and the lines. I mean, here they are on their last hurrah. She says something to him when they're looking out the window, and she goes, "What is it? Hatred is too strong an emotion to waste on somebody you don't like."
I know, that was a great line.
And I thought,
that's a really great line.
You know what other line I liked was, I think it was Perkins said, "I don't know if you're a genius or just arrogant."
Yeah,
he goes,
that was a great
day,
line.
I'm both.
Yeah. On a good day, I'm both. Yeah,
probably both.
My favorite line on there was, oh gosh, there's so many to choose from, but my favorite was from Clara, I think. She said, once she realized what was going on, she said, "There's a body. And there's a mummy. I mean, can you not just get on a train?" And then she goes on to say, "Did a wizard put a curse on you about mini breaks?" Meaning your vacations. But I right at the beginning, I knew I was going to like this one when the doctor said, "It's a smile, but you're sad."
Yeah.
It's confusing. Yeah.
Sad smile.
Like you're malfunctioning.
Right, yeah, I like that. Oh, you know what else I loved? I love the jelly babies in the cigarette case.
Oh my God.
I so want to get a cigarette case now.
To put a bit of jelly babies in it. Jelly babies was trending on Twitter.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
When the episode happened. Jelly babies and Are You My Mummy? People went crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Oh, you know what? Here's another great line. Perkins, chief engineer, Dr. Nosy Parker.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, Perkins was a great character. Let's talk about
Perkins
him for a second there. Now, they were setting him up. I mean, from their first meeting, you know, when they're snooping around, I was like, is he going to beam the doctor in the head? Because you didn't know. And they sort of like were feeling each other out there, you know, sort of sensing each other out and see what's going on. Perkins is the only one that sort of like has got his shit together on the train. But it's really nice. And I'm so glad he didn't turn out to be a hologram. Like what the captain, another complex character. The holograms disappeared, he goes, "They weren't real. That was my best guard."
Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
that was funny.
So yeah, there's a lot of really. I mean, it was sprinkled with really good supporting characters on this, and I don't think any character was as cool as Gus the computer. Let's talk about him for a second.
Voiced by John Sessions, yes.
That John? Now, what do we know about John Sessions? I don't know John Sessions. Tell me.
I know him mostly from QI.
He was also a regular on the original Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Nice.
So he's a very, you know, he's a clever boy.
Yeah, the way he delivered those lines was very
Eddie the shipboard computer.
Yes.
With the good personality on.
I
want to talk about Frank Skinner for just a second.
Uh-huh.
There was a scene towards the end there where Frank Skinner's character Perkins is in the TARDIS looking over the equipment.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that scene didn't seem to go anywhere. Because he's like, "Well, maybe you could fix it." And he goes, "No, I can't fix it." And then he leaves, essentially. Uh-huh. You know, he says, I don't know who it is. And I am positive, my spidey sense was all over that moment, that there was something, this was the doctor testing a theory about something that's going to happen later on in the season. Uh-huh. We didn't get even the slightest mention of Paradise or Missy or any of that. But I have a feeling that Perkins was there for a reason, And that reason has yet to come. That's why I'm so sure he's going to come back, is because I have the strongest feeling that we're just he's that link to that plot.
Well, he does that line. He does that line in the TARDIS where he's like looking in, look like you got some power stacks there that look like they may need
replacing.
Yeah, and he goes, oh, that'll take a long time. He goes, you know, maybe I'd have to keep you on for a while to see if you can to fix that. And he looks up at, he thinks for a while, and he looks at the doctor, and he goes, you know, look, that kind of job could change a man, you know, and the doctor says it has, you know, quite a few times. He respectfully declines. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to show up again or not, but he was a very good character.
He's definitely going to show up again.
I don't know. Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know. See, we'll thinking it's because Frank Skinner is a well-known comedian there, and they were teasing the audience that he might stick around. That was my thinking. But I like Chaz's
economy
idea.
Of the show, the economy of the show dictates that when you linger on something like that and it doesn't have an obvious meaning, it's a clue. So study that.
Well, there have been quote unquote clues that have come to absolutely nothing.
Right.
In the
duck pond.
And this one might do the same. But they just seem to linger on him for a specific reason, and I think that has something to do with it. So I'm thinking that he was sort of Missy's agent there, or
an agent of Missy.
Either Missy's agent or an agent of whoever it was that set up the situation. On the train.
Uh-huh. Gus or whoever. Yeah.
I read somewhere the other day, noodling around on Facebook, as I do, and somebody was saying, like, the reason they realized the reason that they don't like this season of Doctor Who is because it's not fun. You know, the Doctor's not fun anymore. And I was like thinking, he's the doctor. He's not supposed to be. And then I caught myself thinking, well, yeah, he is. He is fun. He's adventurous and fun. And like this time, it's like suddenly it's all dark and serious. And I'm like, that's not as fun to a lot of people. A lot of viewers don't like that. Now, some people do. Some people really dig this sort of thing. And I am finding myself quite interestingly enough really digging the darkness of the Doctor. Really digging that, you know, yeah, he's an alien. You know, fucking grow up, Clara. He's a goddamn alien. He's not an Earthling. He's not one of us.
No,
you know?
No, it's not fucking Glora. No, she's perfectly justified. That's the other thing that people don't like.
Yeah.
Is that she's not, you can't just say fucking grow up, Clara. It's not fucking grow up, Clara. It's fucking grow up, Doctor. It's not her fault that she's upset. It's his fault because he's being an ass. He's not doing bad things. He's not totally heartless. But Jesus fucking Christ. The way he implements his plans is absolutely crap this season. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's been heartless.
Yeah.
He's been completely heartless
We finally got an explanation for this particular bit of heartlessness.
Right.
At the end of this episode, so I think we're finally starting to see a little bit of mellowing there. But his explanation for why he had to lie and why
was bullshit this episode.
No, go ahead, Chaz.
Well, the scene, and Michelle's got more to say on it, so I'll let her speak to it.
Sorry,
obviously, but. The at least we got an explanation. That's the point that I wanted to make. At the end there, he explained, this is why I had to do this. It reminded me so much of Sylvester McCoy explaining to Ace on a beach why he had to manipulate her in Curse of Fenric. But at least we finally got an explanation. But it was an unusually cruel thing that he told her to do. He told her to lie to the Miss Pitt, and she did, and she didn't feel good about it. And this is exactly, he's putting her through the ringer again.
Yeah, you made me your accomplice, is what she says. Yeah,
yeah. And that's what's rubbing her the wrong way. And I'm totally on her side with that. But I just don't think she's handling it I don't think she's handling it very well either, is the problem. They're very mismatched, these two.
Yeah. And you know, and she goes, so you were pretending to be heartless? And the doctor's like going, if that makes you feel better.
Right.
I like that.
You know? Wouldn't just answer that yes or no.
And he goes,
The other thing I did not like is the way she, I enjoy her comically bad lying. Mm-hmm. Clara is just a comically bad liar. And she does, and the very thing that she's complaining to him about, she does at the end there.
Yes.
And from there, I'll let Michelle take it because she's got more to say on it.
This is the one thing I don't like about this episode.
Uh-huh.
It's the very, 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 very end where suddenly she's just like, I'm going to lie to everybody and be perky now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, that came right after the discussion about addiction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think she's probably admitting to herself maybe that she's addicted.
She's an adrenaline.
She's addicted to adventures with the doctor.
Right.
And, you know, like an addict, she's going to lie to the people she loves to get her fix.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's only going to end in a terrible, terrible crash.
Well, like I said, I think this is all ultimately leading to her final exit from the TARDIS, which I suspect is going to happen at the end of this season.
Just like the doctor says, he goes, sometimes the only choices you have are bad ones.
Right.
Yeah. And you still have to make them.
You still have to make them. Yeah. So I don't know. All in all, with that and her deciding to stay on the TARDIS or with the TARDIS and with the doctor, with the TARDIS, it's all the same, isn't it? it's like I still think that we came across with this episode as a wonderful conclusion to this little three-part thing of Clara's indecision and her growing pains of being mm-hmm. with the doctor, you know, and I think that's a really good place to end that, to have that little bit of drama kind of come to its, you know, foregone conclusion, you know. Are we still going to see some more? Sure. The season ain't over yet, you know, and Clara's still in the TARDIS, so yeah, of course so. Is it all going to be good? We don't know yet. I can't wait to see what the heck's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, Skinner is a big fan.
Skinner, he said, what was it? Skinner says, I love this show. I subscribe to Doctor Who magazine. I've got a TARDIS ringtone, a 5-foot cardboard Dalek in my bedroom, and when I got the call saying they wanted me to read for the part, I was in the back of my tour bus watching episode 3 of The Sensorites.
There you go.
I'm excited.
Fucking hardcore.
I just read that, and it was like, oh my God. I bet he and Capaldi had great fun when the camera was off.
Yeah,
geeking out.
I'm sure they had a lot of that. That's interesting. Frank Skinner, I never heard of him before, and all I noticed was he was a really good actor in this.
He's one of the brightest comedians Britain has produced in the last 20 years, and that's saying a lot. He's real.
I actually haven't seen any of his comedy, but like I said, I did see. Actually, I posted a link on Skype there to his documentary about George Formby, which just makes me want to go to Blackpool.
And I love that line about the guy saying, well, to be honest, that's why I got into this field. I was hoping to see a real monster. And the doctor immediately responds with, isn't that everyone's dream?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to watch this again because there are so many great lines in it.
There's a lot of great lines. This whole season, if nothing else, you've got to say the dialogue has really sparkled. I can't mm-hmm. think of a single episode where it hasn't. It's really been nice. So the next episode is written by the same guy as did Mummy on the Orient Express. And he is the writer. He's written for the following TV shows, Becoming Human, Being Human, and Dirk Gently.
Yeah.
So
I love Being Human.
Being Human was great.
I know the original.
Tell me more about Dirk Gently. I did not hear of this.
He wrote one episode of the Dirk Gently TV series.
You didn't know they did an adaptation of Dirk Gently?
No. How did I not know that?
A couple of years ago.
You must have been hanging out with me, huh?
Yeah. Forget names and drinking name. Bahama Mamas.
Bahama Mama. I do not drink Bahama Mamas. Well, you get that out of your little thick skull.
He's more of a Mai Tai man.
All right, Mai Tais.
Rum barrel.
Hello.
It's more fun to say Bahama Mama.
I am, when
it's
it comes
a
to
better
alcohol,
comedy drink name.
When it comes to alcohol, I am, as the kids in the hall would say, a girl drink drunk.
Yes. Are you?
Oh yes, give me a little umbrella and a sweet drink, and I'm there. I'm all over it. But anyway, yeah, he wrote 3 episodes of Becoming Human, and 4 episodes of Being Human.
Yeah, going all the way back to 2010.
Yeah. So now he's got 2 episodes of Doctor Who under his belt, or will as of next week.
Yeah.
Nice. And what is the title for next week?
Flatline. And sadly, I know just about nothing about it other than that. The only thing that's been made public about it is that Christopher Fairbank is guest starring in it. Chris Fairbank, whose name wouldn't obviously be huge to most people, but he was in Sapphire and Steel. He was one of the muggers in Batman. He's one of these guys who's been around forever. He had a part in the Franco Zeffirelli version of Hamlet, for God's sakes. But his previous Doctor Who connection here is that he was in a show called Auf Wiedersehen Pet as Albert Moxley, and Noel Clark was also in Auf Wiedersehen Pet. That's how you connect them. Yes, we're playing 6 Degrees of Noel Clark.
Noel Clark.
Heather and I have been watching Grace Point, and I'd like
Is that on already?
I'd like to throw in a plug for Grace Point. It's David Tennant is not the reason to watch the show, because he's a big part of it, but he's not the only thing. It's a very much an ensemble piece, but it has really been. There's 2 reasons it's really interesting. First of all, Grace Point was largely filmed here where I live. And yay. So every scene, I'm like, oh, I know where that is. I know where that is. We don't have stuff
like that.
It's
like me watching Foul Play.
The second thing is you get to hear David Tennant's hilarious American accent. It's not bad. It's very good for a Scotsman. Outstanding, I would say. It's just completely generic. You know, it's like you can't place it. So it's it's a remake of the British series Broadchurch. I find that it helps to have not seen Broadchurch, which I haven't, because that way I can get into this mystery in a good, proper Twin Peaksy sort of way, right? Without being distracted by, oh, that was done differently in the first series. But it's worth watching. David Tennant's in it, which automatically attracts some people. It's very good. The story is, this is probably Chris Chibnall's best work. And so first time around and second time around.
I watched the original, so maybe I shouldn't watch it.
Well, there is a difference. They do diverge after a few. The first couple of episodes are shot for shot the same. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they start to diverge a bit, and there is a different resolution.
Now, is this a British production or a Canadian production or what?
Broadchurch is Broadchurch was the original British production, and it got picked up by an American company who, to save money, shot here in beautiful Victoria, which has a faint English quality to it. But of course, they're setting it in a California town.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Huh. So it's good. I've heard a few good things about that, and we haven't had a chance to mention it on the podcast. But all you little David Tennant fangirls and boys, go out and see this, right?
You don't have to be a fanboy or fangirl of David Tennant to watch this. It's a great ensemble mystery.
Hey, you're on a Doctor Who podcast. Yeah. Why else would these people watch it? Okay,
I know. I like my David Tennant with his natural accent.
Incidentally,
I've become quite the David Tennant accent connoisseur over the years.
While they were filming that here last year, we got to figure out where all the hangouts were and meet many of the people involved. We saw David Tennant around. My wife actually got to meet him, talk with him, and get an autograph. But the uh, But we saw him around. And what was really nice about shooting in Victoria was that everybody left him alone. You know, there were very few opportunities where people would come up and bug anyone. He was in the coffee shop or in the grocery store, and people would just let him do his thing.
That's cool.
There's a panel that our good friend TARDIS Tara is hosting about, and I think you're involved in this too, Chaz.
I am so involved.
about like tracking and hunting down Doctor Who shooting locations and such.
You should come to the L.I. Who panel. The panel is called The Chase.
Well, what's funny about that is I ran across that and I thought, oh, that is so fucking hilarious. Because, you know, a few years back when Doctor Who came to the U.S. to shoot, they were filming and everybody was trying to figure out where the hell are they going to be shooting in the U.S. Mm-hmm. They're coming to the U.S. Where the hell are they going to be shooting? We had no idea. We had a few clues. And Tara and us here on the Happiness Patrol, we were like, okay, we got to figure this out, you know. And then when we found out that it's more than likely going to be in Utah, we mm-hmm. were like, okay, now we got to mobilize. Because, you know, what other Doctor Who podcast has one of its members who's based in Utah? And I was like, we got to get, you know, Leela, here's your chance. You know, this is the deal. And Leela was like, only like 14 or so at the time. She was like, she was excited about it. And Tara, of course, got her even more excited about it. And so Tara drove across the desert and with her little electronic sign saying, you know, looking for Doctor Who autographs, that kind of thing. And we had the best time tracking down Matt Smith and crew in the Utah desert. And it was so much fun because we kept checking in with each other and giving little updates and such. And there were some people who were doing the same thing, but we were, thank God, the only podcast within ears, earshot of where they were actually filming in Utah. And it was so nice when they came by and said hello. How freaky is it to be in the middle of nowhere? And really, that's really the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And then look over the hill, and then there's like, you know, a little caravan of fans going, woohoo, hey, doctor. You know, I mean, that's going to freak you out a little bit. But, you know, Matt Smith, every interview I've seen with him talking about it, he was just like delighted. He thought it was the coolest thing. You know, he just really just thought it was just wonderful.
I think that was their first time really understanding. And this is a blind spot, I think, with the production until the modern age of conventions came around. Uh-huh. But you can look at a financial report and say, oh, Doctor Who's doing very well in America. That's nice. And then there's Beatlemania, you know.
Yeah.
And the right. I think that was their first clue that this thing has gone huge. Especially for, at least for Matt anyway, it was his first clue that this thing has gone huge. And then he started coming to New York a lot and finding out firsthand just how huge it was getting.
That's true. And I'm glad. I'm very glad that we as a podcast were there at both chances.
Right before they started filming in Utah, Matt Smith appeared on the Craig Ferguson show. And I and my friend Jeffrey had tickets to go be in the audience. And so we're sitting in the audience, and I knew that Tara was wandering around the Utah desert looking for the filming location. And Craig brought up the fact that they were filming here in America, and Matt was like, yeah, we're filming in Monument Valley. And I lean over to Jeffrey and I said, did he just say they were filming in Monument Valley? And she's like, yes, they did. And so then for the rest of the episode, I'm just sitting there, you know, bouncing my leg, waiting for the shooting to be over. And then we had to sit through an interview with Jeff Goldblum. And then, like, as soon as it was over, yeah, I ran out of the building and I got my – because they make you check your phone. They make you check your cell phone before you go to the show.
Yeah.
And they got my phone back and I called Tara. I'm like, they're in Monument Valley.
that
and
was
she
so
probably
cool.
already knew by that point, but I feel like I helped.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I'm a spy.
Yeah, you're like a little spy. You're like a little spy. That's great. So
I would like to point out that there's three, you know, there's three big Doctor Who conventions happening in a fairly short space of time. We have Hurricane Who, followed by Eli Who, and then about 2.5 weeks later, we have Chicago TARDIS.
Yes.
And I'm on panels on all three of these, and it's been interesting to me to watch what when the organizers finally get around to letting us know the details. And I have to say, quite frankly, Eli Who wins, but but now it's a race for second place. I'm very anxious to see who wins.
Funny. Well, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in again to the Happiness Patrol, episode number 136. We will be back next week when we will be talking about strange dimensional phenomena or something
phenomena.
Interdimensional phenomena. So we're going to be talking all about that next week. But in the meantime, if you want to hear a little bit more of the Happiness Patrol podcast, you can go to our blogspot, Nancy.
It is thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com.
And if you want to email us, you can go ahead and do that also. Send us your thoughts and such as that to our Gmail account. It's the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter.
Twiddle handle.
Come on in. Watch the 1040. Come on back, Michelle.
We're on the twatter. What?
We are at the H Patrol.
At the H Patrol. On Twitter, that's right. And our Facebook page. Go to our Facebook page and like us. We are doing a brand new thing. We've been doing it for a few weeks now, and it seems to be pretty successful. It's called The Patrollers. And what it is a very condensed version of what we do here on the Happiness Patrol podcast. But we invite our friends and sometimes family members. we think of them as family members because, you know, this the whole Doctor Who fandom is a big, big family anyway.
And one big old family.
You got that right. And on The Patrollers, it's exclusively on our Facebook page. It's not part of the podcast, but it is sort of a side part of the podcast. We host
it's
it.
It's adjunct.
It's a what?
It's an adjunct.
It's an adjunct to the podcast.
Yes.
It's like a sidecar on a motorcycle.
It's some junk, all right. But anyway, it's a very 2 to 5 minute little version called The Patrollers, and it's just concentrated commentary on Doctor Who. And so we have all kinds of guest patrollers coming in and talking about their take and their opinions on the latest episode of that week's Doctor Who episode. So make sure to go to our Facebook page, like it, and listen to The Patrollers. And in the meantime, you listen to the Happiness Patrol and stay tuned here because we're going to be bringing it to you all the way through Christmas. Right, gang?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Act
yep.
enthusiastic and go be enthusiastic.
Yay.
Yay. There is much rejoicing.
And in the meantime, as always, I am Louis B.
I'm Nancy A.
I'm Michelle H.
I'm Chaz M. Now shut up and give me some planets. Let's go.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Yeah, it's like every time I fry an egg, I don't think I'm killing a chicken, you know?
Well, that's because
unless you're getting fertile eggs, I don't think so.
Yeah,
well, I'll try not to fry those.
Was that a quarry or was that a beach?
Sure looked like a quarry to me.
It looked like a cross between a rocky beach.
Both a quarry and a bubble wrap, which is two great tastes that taste great together. and I just, you know, and I, you know, you're...
Like that would ever make it past the TSA.
I'm
fresh sourdough, guys. Everybody gather around this particular suit.
Fresh sourdough.
And that was, I was just like, damn it, one of them almost said something.
I'm going to get some tea real quick, and I'll be right back.
I'm very excited.
It's very good. It's the real deal.
That'll work.
In space.
Soul Train in space.
Soul Train in space is going to be
my... I should watch the shit out of that.
I should do that again and go, as today, as we bring you on the Happiness Patrol, happiness, love, and soul...
Space.
Yeah.
In space.
Happiness, love, and space.
You know, that's okay.
You know, that's what Doctor Who needs, is more Parliament Funkadelic.
I agree.
And it was like somebody let the air out of my balloon. They didn't pop my balloon. It was like the air just sort of like slowly leaked out. Did you say twatters?
Now you got me doing it. Jesus.